I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My featured guest today is Gary Finley, the Redneck CEO. Gary grew up in humble beginnings in Axtell and now serves as the CEO of two fast-growing home service franchise brands. I wanted to have Gary on after last episode with Dina Dwyer-Owens because he's taken a similar approach to her plan of building companies with core values and characteristics that can be translated to many markets. But before that conversation, it's the word on the street. On Wednesday of this week, Waco Work hosted a panel called Brand Builders, where three speakers fielded questions and discussed the importance of small business owners growing, enhancing, and protecting their brands. That term can feel a bit nebulous, so let's start there. What exactly is branding?
So branding is creating an identity that allows for your audience to identify you and to recognize you as the source of goods or services that are being placed out on the market.
Yasmeen Salem-Hamden is an attorney with the YSH Law Firm, which helps startup founders and business owners develop a solid legal foundation for their company.
And so creating something distinct that sets you apart from all of the noise that's out in commerce right now, sets you apart as a service provider or a product provider. And again, it allows for your consumers and your audience to identify you, readily identify you and easily identify you and interact with you, engage with you.
Getting customers to engage online can be really difficult, which is why coming up with a strategy should be one of the first stops on any entrepreneur's journey.
Small businesses should be thinking about branding constantly. They should be thinking about branding at the start, right at the get-go. As you're developing your business, it's absolutely important to have a solid business model in place. How are we going to generate revenue? But you can't generate revenue unless you're reaching your audience, and it's not worthwhile to reach your audience if you are not providing them with something to identify you by.
April Lehman is the communications director for Four Columns Marketing, based in downtown.
I think you can kind of get focused on what you're good at and just repeat. So it's great to just take a step back and think about branding from a wider lens, hear from other people who have different experiences. I love it when I can connect with people like Yasmeen, who thinks of it from a legal perspective, which is different than my approach. So I can take her input and the answers to her answers to the questions and apply that to my own work, and I can even just help my own clients think about things and say, hey, this may be a resource you need depending on where you are and your branding journey.
The Brand Builders panel, which also included Jason Reynolds and Jeff Cannon, is another example of that collaborative entrepreneurial culture bubbling up in downtown right now.
So I just love that Waco is doing these kinds of meetups. I think it's great to share knowledge and have a really collaborative community around making everybody succeed in business. So I love opportunities for continued professional development. And I brought my team with me because I think that it's beneficial for everyone to constantly just grow and listen and find ways to learn.
Town Trotter is a new app that helps you find fun, local venues in your community. Founder Chris Nunn is in studio with me. Chris, how did the Town Trotter idea come about?
Yeah, Austin. So, like most good stories, it started with a girl. I had been dating my girlfriend for a couple years, and we both wound up at Baylor together. And I was with my roommate, and I was thinking, man, what are some unique things we can do to take our girlfriends on dates? Because he has a girlfriend as well. And we're like, what are the places that are local to Waco that we can't do in our hometown of Houston? Like, what are the fun spots? What are where do people love to go? And the more and more we researched it, and the more and more I thought about it, I thought, man, this could be really beneficial. I mean, there's a new group of freshmen every year. A lot of people are moving into Waco now with the growth that's happened in the city. And it's kind of taken that idea and expanded to beyond more than just dates and kind of include everyone. And the idea gives you places to go. And then when you go there, you can check in and get points for going. And then those points can be used for coupons and gift cards. And so through all that, the idea came about of how do we A, find fun places to go, but we're college students. We're all young people on a budget, so let's find those coupons as well.
It's sort of like Yelp meets Pokemon Go, where you get points for joining in challenges, which in turn unlock rewards. What's an example of a challenge that someone might complete on Town Trotter?
Yeah, so we currently have one of my favorite challenges is called Taco Libre. It's a spinoff on the movie Nacho Libre, but the challenge is visit 3 local taco places in the month of July and get 200 bonus points, and those 200 bonus points are enough to enter a gift card giveaway or something like that.
And if you look at Yelp, for instance, you'll usually see that the top sellers on Yelp or the top attractions are the ones who have the largest Yelp advertising budget, which I'm sure is completely coincidental. But one nice thing about Town Trotter is that it's really merit-based. You know, it's totally based on what other users are doing and the challenges that they're participating in.
It is. And we have it lets you know how many people have been there before. You can write your own reviews, take pictures similar to a Google or Yelp. And it truly is based on what people like and what users want to see here in Waco.
So the user interface of Town Trotter is awesome. You have a beta released right now, and you plan on unveiling the full package in August.
Yes. So we think the idea is, we want to hear from users on what specifically about it they like. And our goal with this summer beta is to get that feedback from people and really try to understand what makes them love Town Trotter. And so when the new freshman class comes in August, when people come back to school at Baylor, and as Waco continues to grow, we want to provide a great service.
So, Chris, I know you're a student in the Baylor Business School right now. How did you manage to come up with an app like this while you're still in school?
Honestly, it came with the help of phenomenal people. So I've gotten a co-founder. His name's Chris Hawley. He's a computer science major here at Baylor. He's been the one helping me develop the app, help the technical side work out. And then the professors at Baylor in the business school have been another tremendous resource, the entrepreneurship program, as well as the business fellows program and the people within that. And then really just the early adopters of Town Trotter, the people such as like Corey Dickman with Waco Escape Rooms and Alpha Omega, Health Camp, and some businesses like that that saw that this has potential in their mind, and they wanted to help me out and see if we can get it there.
Chris Nunn is the founder of Town Trotter, and you can find them online, towntrotterapp.com, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Chris, thank you so much for connecting Downtown Depot listeners with cool deals in town.
Of course, Austin. Thanks for having me.
The Waco boom has brought growth to many sectors, but maybe none more visible than the dining scene, where a few food truckers have built enough cachet to warrant a brick-and-mortar expansion. My wife Julia and I, for instance, have owned and operated the Pokio's food truck for 3 years, and next month, we'll be moving into the lobby of the Hilton Hotel, hoping to capture some of those 2.6 million visitors the city's expected to welcome in 2018. We saw it happen earlier this year with Milo, a popular mobile vendor that serves upscale American food, when it moved into a storefront at 11th and Franklin, across from Balcones Distilling, in what used to be known as the Big Green Automotive Building. Another jump is being made near the county courthouse, where pitmaster Reed Guess and his partner, Gene Vinikov, are transitioning Guess Family Barbecue from a small trailer into a huge dining and event space with seating for over 300 people at 6th and Columbus. 900 Degrees Woodfire Pizzeria, owned by brothers Caleb and Justin Duty, is soon to graduate into a space of its own at the bustling U Parks Mary development near Bicycle World and Honky Tonk Kid Barbecue. These brothers, whose parents have operated Papa Rolo's Pizza since 1969, hope to be open in September and have no intention of closing their mobile location at the Magnolia Silos. In a Waco Trib article, Justin told business reporter Mike Copeland, quote, "Our credit card data shows that well over 90% of our customers there are first-time customers, meaning we're getting traffic moving through town, not necessarily regulars. We think the permanent location will prove attractive to those who may live, work, or regularly shop in or near downtown." The brothers use a wood-fired brick oven to create a 900-degree heating surface, which allows pizzas to cook in 90 seconds, bringing a whole new meaning to the term fast casual. I'm now joined in the studio by Gary Finley. Gary is the CEO of Restoration One and of Blue Frog Plumbing and Drain. Gary, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having me. I don't believe I've ever been on the show here and lived in Waco my whole life.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. What's your history in this area?
So I grew up here, a little town outside of Waco, just east of Belmead called Axtell. Big Axtell Longhorns, population of about 300 or 400. I had 23 people in my graduating class. And I married one of them. I'm still with her today, 36 years later. So just, you know, grew up in the country. I custom farm while I was in school. I've done the rodeo deal. I've done a little bit of everything. But my dad was a business owner here in Waco, owned a stereo place for about 15 years.
And where was that located?
It was located, well, originally right next to the old Baylor Stadium on Valley Mills Drive. Then they moved down to North Valley Mills. And so he was in that business, and I kind of got into the part where I really liked that entrepreneurship and said, you know, I think I like one of these days want to own my own business. And I like sales. Sales is probably where it all started. And so been doing that my entire life, really.
One reason why I wanted to have you on the show this week, Gary, is because Dina Dwyer Owens had been a guest last episode. And you are an interesting character because you're involved sort of on both sides of this franchisor-franchisee relationship. Explain to our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so currently I'm the CEO of Restoration One and Blue Frog Plumbing. So we have about 200 locations with Restoration One around the country in, I think, 33 states now. Blue Frog has about a dozen. We bought that company about a year ago. I've been franchising since I was about my early 20s, which I started with the Dwyer Group when they only had one concept, which was Rainbow. And I learned franchising, loved it, and over the years really got involved in it. So 96, I got approached by a buddy that had Curves, and he said, I got an idea, had a couple locations, and I stepped in there, and over the next 8 years, we took that company to 8,000 locations. And so with from the side of franchisee, I decided when I got into Blue Frog, I've represented about 25 brands. This is actually the first time I actually bought the franchise that I was representing. So I have a couple in Florida. Then I own the, with two partners, I own the Waco location of Restoration One. So I've seen it. I understand it. I understand franchising is about systems and processes. And so it's now just given me an opportunity to not only implement what I have been teaching all these years, but also it gives us a great, local store to be able to – we bring in about, could be 30, 40 people a month here to do training. So it gives us a spot to be able to use that as a training center for them and take them out on jobs and for us to kind of test and measure from that. So that's really what we've been doing. So franchisor, franchisee, if you come from the franchisor side, you always know what you want them to be doing. Franchisees are not always happy with the franchisors. So it's kind of interesting to be on both sides of it.
What different parts of your brain have to work when you're in franchisor mode versus franchisee mode?
Well, I think franchisor mode is it's no longer just about you. It is about several people. So if we have 200 locations, obviously it is understanding that my job is to do things that are going to better those 200 locations. And so it's more looking at the global view, more looking at the view on the side of the company and how the franchisor needs to view each franchisee. I guess on the franchisee side, I'm one of those where I'm looking out for myself. So I'm looking out for building that local unit that I can sell one day or turn it over to my kids or whatever. So it's more individually looking at myself versus looking at what's best for the company.
Restoration One, which you took over as CEO of in 2016, has had tremendous growth recently.
Yes.
It expanded the brand from 18 locations to more than 140 locations, and this was in 2017. Right. Where are you guys now with Restoration One, and what are the plans to continue that growth?
So we're right at 200 locations today. We're continuing to see that growth of at least 50 to 75 new locations a year. Our goal is to get this up to at least 500 locations over the next few years. What we have is tremendous growth due to due to the system. Our franchisees have been very successful. They come out of the gates pretty quick. We teach them in training how to be ready to go. And there's so much diversity. Our franchisees come from all over the place. We have executives from companies, from different companies. We have, not just what somebody would think blue-collar workers, but we have executives, bankers, Wall Street guys, former CIA, Secret Service guys. So they're kind of all over. And we see ourselves not just expanding the Restoration One, but continue to grow. We bought the Blue Frog about a year ago. We have all of our systems in place now, which was important to get done prior to just kind of run out and start developing. So with that growth, we want to do that, but we want to expand into other service brands. So we want to find other brands that complement each other, which is why we bought the plumbing brand. So we're currently the fastest growing restoration franchise in the country.
Expanding into different service verticals sounds very much like the Dwyer Group.
A little bit. But I really don't I don't know that I'm 56 years old. I don't know that I'm ready to stick around and do 30, 40 brands and get it to the level that they've really built. They've been doing it since I started there in the late 70s and built a tremendous company. For me, having four or five brands that are very successful that franchisees can cross over and maybe own two or three, that's really what I would like to see over the next few years, not build anything to that size. Now, the future of it as it goes on after Gary Finley could change that. It could very well get to that. But for today, for me, building another four or five brands is important.
Why is diversity among your franchisees an integral part of your success?
Because they understand the backgrounds they come from. So, for instance, a couple of months ago, we had some guys come in that are executives from Walmart. They retired from Walmart. These people really understand how to build a business. What we don't want and what we're not looking for is that man in the van. The guy just wants to come in, build a business, kind of a part-time gig. That's not what we want. So we look for those people. Typically, they're well-funded. Most of them are, in their mid-40s, mid-50s, maybe a little bit older. They've been in a career. They want to step out. They want to create something for themselves. And the reason they like this business, and, let's face it, plumbing and restoration is not a sexy business. I've been in the health club business for 20 years. That's sexy. People like to go home and tell their friends, I just bought a health club. But this business is not one of those. But as they look across, and they'll look at several different businesses, what they look, this creates what they want, which they can ramp up quick. The things I said, if I were going to go into a business today, which is why I bought them, low investment, low overhead, high margins, no brick and mortar, and as recession resistant as I can possibly get. I had a flood in my house. It's a $30,000 flood. And the guys came in, they did the work, and they're in and out, and insurance paid for it, and it was a necessity. I couldn't say, hey, I'll wait and get this done next month. So the diversity among our franchisees coming from this background is they understand how to manage a business and how to grow one, how to build it, take it to another level as opposed to just thinking as a one-man operator. So that's why it's been really important and really been the growth and the success of the growth of what we do today.
A larger trend in what you're doing with Restoration One is we've been having a lot of these global flooding events,
right,
like we had in
right.
Houston last year. Is that something that other restoration companies across the country are starting to see increased activity just because we have more of these really terrific weather events?
Yeah, it is. And our franchisees experience the same thing. Understand it's, on the day-to-day basis, it probably affects, 5 to 10% of our franchisees. It's not something that is happening all the time. And then it's kind of, areas. So you could have Florida, Alabama, the South getting more flooding. Of course, like you said, Houston was big this year. Mm-hmm. And we do see that effect, and we do see that getting bigger and bigger. They say this is one of the biggest hurricane years coming up. We have to wait and see. In my business, it's kind of a catch-22. You never want to see those things happen, the destruction that they bring. But somebody's got to be there. And one of our points of being there is to understand that it's a very tragic event. And so to teach our franchisees not to just be there to make a buck, but to be there for the people and understand what they're going through, and that we're providing a service for them that they need. It's not about just us coming in there making money.
Yeah, that's just so useful as a brand to have an opportunity built in for empathy. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, we understand what it's like to lose a home. I had $30,000 worth of flooding at mine.
Right.
And this is why we're going to treat you this way with respect.
Yes. So we have a, you know, we have a process that we go through. We teach our franchisees from the minute you walk up to the door. One of those things that's very important, whether it's, you know, Restoration One or Blue Frog, you're going into people's homes, and with restoration and sometimes plumbing too, you're going in under really bad circumstances. Nobody ever calls a restoration company with anything good. And so, you know, you could be in HVAC and it's at, my air's not working correctly. But this is something, something has happened, and it could, you could have found mold. You could have smoke damage from something. You could have water damage. There's a lot of different things. Sometimes you could have somebody in your house doing some work and find mold in there, which is never good. So we teach them the steps of treating that home like it's their home and the way they would want somebody to enter into their house. And then to your point, that empathy, that understand, it's just, it's not a great situation. You're going to have these air movers in your house for a few days, and it's going to be hot, and you've got cords running everywhere. So make it the very best that you can. That's what we try to do.
You're hearing from Gary Finley, CEO of Restoration One and Blue Frog Plumbing and Drain, affectionately known as the Redneck CEO.
Yep, that's me.
Tell me a little bit about the idea behind you as the Redneck CEO.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different terms. Sometimes people think of rednecks. You know, the Jeff Foxworthy always had a joke, you know, you are a redneck if. I grew up in a small town, and that's kind of what I call it. I grew up in a small town. I was farming and doing all those things. I had to be I had to learn early on how to run heavy equipment and how to be responsible for that, raising cattle, having a horse. I probably had a cow or a horse ever since I was, you know, I'd say 8 years old. So I'm not your typical CEO. If you see me in a suit, it's bad. I mean, I'm something that I shouldn't be at, right? I'm meeting with somebody. But I am my whole everything I do in building a business is about relationships. That's who I am. And I think I learned that being in a small town, that you knew everybody, you was related to most of the people. And so I kind of, you know, I take a lot of pride in that. Some people think, you know, you don't have a degree from, you know, higher education. You don't have a Harvard. You don't have this. You know, I've just kind of worked for my bootstraps. And to me, that says a lot. And, you know, you are a little bit more empathetic to people because you haven't had it all fed to you. You had to go out and work for it. And so, you know, really it's kind of that thing from coming from the country, working on a farm, hauling hay, cutting firewood, doing all those things that we do, and just setting a different tone to the way that you build a business, which is not a lot of meetings. I hire smart people, and then I leave them alone. I'm not a micromanager. I'm not going to spend all my days sitting in an office, sitting in meetings. I let them work, and they're very good at what they do. So just kind of my style. I'm working on a book this year called The Redneck CEO, so we're working on that. Hopefully have it out by the end of the year, and I want to use that as my platform to go out and speak and talk about building businesses, but also about building relationships. And so that's where I hope one leads into another.
And the term redneck comes about because you were out working all day and you've got a redneck because you were putting in the hours.
Exactly.
Like that should be a compliment.
From. Yeah, you know, that's like where it came from.
Yeah, that's exactly. It shouldn't be derogatory.
Yeah, it's not somebody who's, you know, living, you know, out really poorly and they don't have anything. It's for me, it's a term of endearment. I'd love people to call me that. I'm usually, you know, it's not that you know, it's not that unlikely during the week you'd run into me somewhere and I got on a camo shirt and my pants are tucked in my boots. And I try not to do that in public, but if I'm going to my ranch, I do that. So it is. It's a hard working. It's how our country was built. And there's two different ways. There's people that do that. And then the people that on the executive role, and you need both of them. And I filled both of them, but I'm probably more on that country redneck side than I am the executive side.
What has been one of your greatest learning experiences?
You know, I would say in my 8 years at Curves, learning that there's a little book out there called, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. You can get caught up in all the little daily things that just kind of, they wear you down. And so if I've learned anything, if you have 8,000 locations and we were in 32 countries, we were still in the Guinness World Book of Records, is one of the fastest growing fitness chains in the world. You learn a lot from people, and you learn how to deal with those personalities. So I learned early on to choose my battles, and some of them are not worth getting into. And looking at both sides, my side as a franchisor and a franchisee side, and where they're coming from. So my learning lesson has just been to kind of sit back and be more, be more empathetic to the other side. And so I've learned that having a lot of franchisees over a 25-year span in franchising. I've been involved in very, very, very little legal disputes, because when they come up, I'd go meet with franchisees and try to get to the crux of it and fix it before it becomes a legal problem.
When you are thinking about the ways in which you want the company to grow in the future, do you see, because it seems like you have very ambitious plans for both Restoration One and Blue Frog, do you see Waco as being your home base as you continue to grow this? And why or why not would Waco make sense as that?
Great question. Understand this, that when we started Curves, the founder of the company lived down in the valley. And I was here. He and I were friends. I had a health club at that time. And he said, we started the company, and he said, look, I don't intend on being in the office every day, so you can put it anywhere you want. So I loved Colorado, and I was down there looking around, and it just hit me one day. I said, Waco's my home. So I moved the Curves headquarters to Waco. That's how it ended up here, because this was my home.
Okay.
And I did that, and I'll tell you, I don't know that many people realize that, Dwyer Group's not the only franchise in town. There's other franchise companies, or have been through the past, and when you have access to really good people, that's been really good. And because it is my home, I've known people all my life, and so I've been able to watch them develop those skill sets over the years. So for me, I'm not going anywhere with our headquarters. I moved this headquarters from Fort Lauderdale in January of 16. That's where it was based out of. And I moved the headquarters to Waco. We bought a 23,000 square foot building out off of Lakeshore. And we've got 5 acres out there. We're building a flood center. We're building a bigger training center. We're going to continue to expand. So we don't intend on going anywhere. Most of my employees are Waco people, or they've moved here. This is their home. They're raising kids here. My son is VP of operations. So he's kind of followed my career and learned what to do. So this is my home. I love everything about Waco and what it's done for me, and having that opportunity to, kind of live out a dream. And so it's been a great place to raise kids, a great place to build businesses. And so this is our home. I'm not going anywhere. If I started another business today, my headquarters would be here.
Gary Finley, CEO of Restoration One and Blue Frog Plumbing. Be on the lookout for his book, The Redneck CEO, later this year. We'll be sure to keep you posted. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again to today's guests, Gary Findley, Yasmeen Salem-Hamden, April Lehman, and Chris Nunn. And thank you for tuning in and keeping up to date with Waco Business News in between episodes by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.